And the Word of God is a great, wonderful thing. You know, God, what He does, He indoctrinates us with the wonderful words of life. Paul, the great apostle, was so thoroughly indoctrinated with the wonderful understanding of God as to the law of the letter. And because of that, he was a chosen vessel. He had given himself so diligently to the law of the letter as to be blameless, a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, and blameless as touching the law. And God had chosen him to reveal Christ in his life. So then, to begin with, to reveal Christ in his life, he had to become the Word in the flesh as much as he knew. Well, as he did, he studied and he studied and he studied, and in the fleshly mind of Paul, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel and learning these wonderful things, he just become like a walking scroll, as we say. And then when the time came for him to be carried away with God, he began to pray and began to seek God, and then he became full of the Spirit of the Lord. And when he became full of the Spirit of God, then that took care of the Christ part. And it's like when you want a little power, you know, you got to mix a little fire with your gasoline, and then you get an explosion. And when Paul got these two things together, then he, through the great understanding of the mind of Christ, began to understand a little bit about the ingenuity of these things and put them together, and he came out with great, wonderful power, and he became the overseer of the Gentile church. As the gospel was committed unto Peter to the Jews, he said, so has God committed the gospel unto me for the Gentile. And God sent to take him a bride out from among the Gentiles. If you'll notice in Jesus' preaching, he never preached too much about clothing or anything like that, because in that day among the Jews, they already had all those things taught to them by Moses. He preached on the spirit and on the thoughts, as to trying to bring about a fulfillment of the Word of God as to the law in his body, even as Paul was doing, and then in this fold it up and lay it away so that we could have this wonderful blessing and benefit of God in the end time. We say sometimes, as to the Jews, we look on them as Jews, look on them as special people, and indeed they are. Paul said, what profit is there of the Jew, much in every way, chiefly because that has been committed unto them the oracles of God. That is to say, those things as to the Old Testament types and shadows, the ritualistics, the formalities, or whatever was a godly thing that God had them to do as to his program and plan. And those things, of course, were what God wanted, not as to the ritualistics and the formalities, as to that of man, where they followed after the tradition of the elders and whatever, and made void the commandment of God. But this is what Jesus came to fulfill, and he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of it. And when Paul came out as to this Christ side of life, he then began to make a proclamation that didn't set too well with his brethren. He said that he really got into problems, and he started through sufferings and all of these things. And he said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren's sake, as to my kinsmen in the flesh. And he really had a problem. But anyway, as the time went on, he finally told the Jews, he said, you know, he said, there just isn't any such thing as a Jew. Said, you know, we might as well get this straight, as we would say. You people talking about being a Jew, and you boast yourself in that ye are a Jew. He said, there is no such thing. As to a natural Jew, he said, there is no such thing. God is no respect of person. God came to bring salvation to humanity, not to Jews. And said, besides that, said, you have committed a hideous thing, because you kill all the wise men and you kill the prophets, and now the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost, as to a religious thing of making a profession as to this great thing, when you have the law and none of you keep it, and the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of that foolishness. Well, anyway, he said, the only Jew there is in the spirit, and there is a spiritual Jew, and he is a true Jew. And there is a true Israel, he said, but that true Israel is the spiritual Israel. And that true Israel comes out of every tribe of all the world. We are fellow heirs together. And this is the mystery that God has made known, that there is no respect of person with God, and Christ is neither male nor female. There's neither rich nor poor, learned or unlearned. There is neither Greek nor Jew nor barbarian or whatever it might be. All are one, and God has created all of them for his own purpose. For his pleasure was they created. So then knowing this, he knew this by revelation. And knowing this, he was very bold to speak his piece as to whether it was the Jew or Greek, whoever. He got into serious problems about it, but he did it anyway. And then we look and we see what a great, wonderful honor that God has bestowed upon the Gentile people. As to when I say the Gentile people, I'm speaking not as to exclude the Jew, because all can be partakers of this benefit as to faith in Christ Jesus or through repentance. And the Jew has to be saved just like you have to be saved by faith. One is to by faith, the other through faith. But it's the same. It's all by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it is written, out of Zion shall go forth, or Zion there shall go forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Whereas we brought this out to you a number of times, as to the 144,000, as to being sealed. There it spoke of in the 6th and 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. That is, as to the 12 sons, as to Jacob. Or that is to say, the 12 tribes, as to Israel, and that his name was changed to Israel, the name of a prince, because he wrestled with the angel in the time that he was meeting Esau and prevailed. So we see that it does not say, out of Zion shall go forth a deliverer and turn ungodliness away from the Jews. There is no such thing. But it does say, away from Israel. And in that the Christ has come to the spiritual Israel, then the Jesus has gone to the natural Israel. And both of these must come together. And Jesus made within himself twain, both Jew and Gentile, as we use the terms a lot of times because people are so familiar with it. He made it both as to bring the body and the spirit into one, in that the body had been separated. That is to say, the body had been separated from the spirit because of the fall in the garden. And the image as to the spirit in which the body had been made had been lost. And this is what we was dealing with you about the other night. This body that had been lost, it wandered off. It wandered off from its originality, or it wandered off from the creative act of God as to the image of the illumination, which was the Christ. For in Christ's image was we made. And all things was made by the Lord Jesus, and without him nothing was made that is made. You know, sometimes we refer back to the scripture where it said, and if. All of the things that Jesus had done was written and put in books. The world itself could not contain the books. Now, as to a philosopher, as to professors, they would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel trying to understand what you were saying. But in our minds as Christians, we know that though we would look at it and say, well, he only lived 3 years as to his ministry, as to really being active, you know, even though he'd done things as about 30, but still as to the things of God. But then when you look at it the way that God looks at it, when he said, "Son, the heavens, they shall wax old, and ye shall fold them up and lay them away." But he said, "As to your days, they are without end. As to your kingdom, there is no end of it." He said, "For these things were made by your hand." So then when we look at this, then we realize that if we consider the fact that he made the birds and he made the heavens and he made the stars and he made every little beetle, he made every tiny little thing, every little sail, he made the galaxies that scientists can't even number, and worlds of worlds, then we realize, we say, oh my God, how could you write it and put it in a book? What little world like this could contain that when he made, I suppose that Earth is probably one of the smallest worlds among some of the small worlds, as comparatively speaking, as to some that he made. But anyway, we see the greatness of our Savior. What a great and mighty God he is. How wonderful his infinite love. How great. See, and now we have this great honor as to the Gentile people, that he hath raised up a man at the beginning to be the overseer of this church, to give him a revelation. and bring forth a spiritual Jew. That's why Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you in the spirituals. Seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't do that. Just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And as to say that I want meat in my house, but meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So again, we go back to the milk of the word. And yet we can't leave off with the milk of the word because we've got babes, and we can't leave off with the meat because we've got some that are strong that need meat. He said that a babe is unskillful in the word and he has to have milk. But when we get so far along as to where he said, I want to bring Zion again, they shall all see eye to eye and speak the same thing, march hand in hand and not break ranks. It won't be the envying, the strife, and all of these different things that the Bible speaks of. See, as to these things, are ye not yet carnal? Are ye then spiritual? So, we, a lot of times in our ministry, deal with you like Jesus. Jesus dealt not with the mode of dressing, nor with the natural sources of life, even though we have to deal with that. Yet, that's not what we deal with, is to major upon that. Jesus, the Bible said, perceived their thoughts in his spirit, and he dealt with their thoughts. And he said, why does thoughts arise in your heart? And he said, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, and these defile you. And would say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. He was always dealing with the spirit and with the thoughts. You know, this is because the Christ on the inside was looking for that bride and reproving Israel, natural Israel, because they had gone so much to the natural ways of life. And of course, that's necessary. You know, a lot of times folks criticize our ladies wearing the long dresses and say, well, I just don't believe that that's necessary. Well, believe it or not, it is necessary. Whether you ever wear them or not, it's still necessary. Somebody said, well, what do you think about that? I think you're half naked if you don't do it. Somebody said, well, I don't see that. Well, if I come in here with my pants cut off above my knees, you'd think I was half naked. Somebody said, bless God. Let me tell you something. If I come in here as a preacher, you'd get up and walk out. If I come in here in shorts or come in here with my pants above my knees, somebody said, I wouldn't. I know that's because you're corrupt. Let's give the Lord a hand. You'd get right into the mire with me. All right, somebody say hallelujah. The devil can't win for losing. All right. So then, are we saved then because we wear a long dress as to the women? Absolutely not. You could be a wolf. And we got some around here, both men and women. The Bible said that we should preach on the dressing, dress as becometh holiness, and adorn yourself as the women of old. Don't you remember all the women of old that history speaks about running around with their knee-bop dresses? There never was no such. Even when they came to America here, there was ladies. These women of the days of George Washington, Abe Lincoln, they'd have put you in jail. They'd caught you like that. But now it's just part of the day. It's just part of the style. It's incorporated in their life. They do what they want to. And men are continually lusting in their thoughts. Women are continually lusting. And this is grievous to God, is grievous to me, and is grievous to any true man or woman that wants to do right. But this is where you're going to be judged. Salvation starts in your heart, folks. It starts with your thoughts. Your do's and don'ts don't mean nothing to God. Your thoughts, you cleanse the inside of the platter, and after a while, the outside of the platter will be all right. It'll shape up and it'll change. But nevertheless, I have to contend with these things, and you have to contend with these things. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's grievous, it hurts. But I just go on, and I ride over these things because there's demons and devils everywhere. The atmosphere is filled with devils and with demons, and they present themselves to human instrumentality by thought. And those three powers that I spoke of as to spiritual forces that are invisible forces, they use the human brain. All three, as to your angelic being, as to Satan's angelic being, as to God's angelic being. They only have one body, and that's your body. And that's why there's a dispute between Satan and between God over the body. Because there's no manifestation of God nor of Satan without a body. And there's no manifestation of you without a body. And that's why Paul said, I would like to present you to God blameless body, soul, and spirit, because you're going to have need for all three of them. But anyway, we can't get into that. I just want to drop a few thoughts here to stir up your mind as to your pure mind, even the mind of Christ. So then, I don't preach all that much on the outward appearance. Somebody said, well, I think it's like you said, you know, a bunch of wolves. Well, even if it was so, as to give you the benefit of the doubt, if you was looking at a bunch of wolves, you know, it's like a song we wrote one time, you're going to find what you look for. But anyway, if it was so, then there's one thing that we all have to confess. The Bible speaks of those wolves being in sheep clothing, and it's still sheep clothing. Let's give the Lord a hand. Still sheep clothing. Whether you want to wear it or not, it's still sheep clothing. And the men running around with their tight, form-fitting clothes, you know, and trying to show off their clothes and their muscles and their face and their bodies, and as women and men giggling and women being real bold to get it right in your face, you know, with her grin and with whatever, and men the same way. Bless God, let me tell you, you know, that is a shame and a disgrace and a reproach and repulsive to Almighty God. When God said for that man to be grave and he said for that woman to be shamefaced, that's just devils just eating each other like, just like ants going to syrup, you know. And yet you can't get it out of that woman. You can preach to her 10 years when you get through. She'll say, praise God, I love this message. Glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven. She'll be identical the same. You can preach to a man, it'll be identical the same with him. Won't be no change. That's why the Bible uses the terms. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. And that's why the Bible uses the term, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And that's why the Bible uses the term, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall try and not be able. So once the master's risen up shut to the door, many shall cry from without, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And you know, here's where the problem is. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, you know, we hear the word. We hear you preach it. We hear other preachers preach it. And we hear the word and we believe the word. But folks, I'm trying to tell you as I go along so often, I'm trying to tell you that hearing and just believing the word, as you say, as a believer in this world, that won't work. That won't do it. That won't do it. Your fasting won't do it. Your praying won't do it. Even believing that there's a God won't do it. God is the word. You know, that won't do it. This word is spirit, and this word is life. And this word, to do you any good at all, must be turned into spirit. You might think, well, I know that word, and I believe that word, and I follow that word. Did you know that the world is full of colleges and schools where there's hundreds and millions of people that are hatched off out of school and out of churches and everything else, that they are scholars of this book and this natural printed page, and they could make some of us look real bad as to their scholarship ability? Do you realize that? I've engaged in warfare with some of them at times. I mean, they're polished, and they know how to handle the sword. But the thing is, Satan is not a good scholar, but he is a well-furnished scholar as to presenting his case. There's nothing good but God, you know, none good but God. If you're of God, then you're good. If you ain't, you're not good. And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That is to say, the Spirit. God is the Spirit. So then, in that he was going to be made sin. So then, when we realize this, as to meeting these people, why aren't those people Christians? Why don't they live a holy life? Why don't they live an overcoming life? Why do they do the way they do? Should I then believe them and accept them as a child of God because of their scholarship ability? No. The Bible said the child is known by his doings. I've got to see what they're doing. Someone said, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, that is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? As that spirit that was in Jesus, as to the Christ, was about the Father's business. And if he's the same, if he's in your body, he'll be about the Father's business. And if you're about every kind of business but that, and meddling in somebody's business and a busybody, you know, and you're after the things of the world, and you're wanting homes and houses and lands and money, and you're wanting education, and you're wanting attention, and you're wanting appearance, and you're wanting everything, you know, has to pertain to the beggarly elements of this world. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. A lot of preachers, they're not after the Spirit of Christ. They're not after the things of God. They're looking for everything they can get you. That's why Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus, is when he come to realize that his kingdom wasn't going to be of this world. He lost all of his prestige to his ambition. He was ready to throw him overboard for money. Anyway, I'm just trying to lay a little foundation here as to collect your thoughts and get you to think a little bit. So then what am I saying as to going into a dark room? Maybe it's not dark to the extent that you might be able to see a few silhouettes. So you might be able to figure out that this is something over here in the corner that I can tell that that's a chair, I believe. That's a chair. Or whatever it might be, you know, you might look at it, a stove, a table, whatever. But you really can't tell if the night's real dark and if you're not familiar with the objects as to having been programmed according to these things that God created that emanated from Christ. Then in the moonlight, you know, you can't really tell at a distance what that thing is. You can see it and you might imagine it to be such and such, and then get there, I've got there, and I find out it was altogether different. So that's the way it is. In your intellectual darkness, with all of your learning as to book learning, as to education, as to the Bible, it means nothing. It's good for this world. You know, you can use it in this world. Satan constantly presses through the law that our children go to the old tree of knowledge and eat every day. And if you tell anybody anything else, they say, well, you're ignorant. You don't have any understanding. You must be eccentric. You know, because everybody needs an education, they say. And yet the Bible does say that all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. And he did say that when you go into Canaan, though you haven't had any schools and you haven't had any colleges, that all the people that did have those things is going to be afraid of you because of your great, masterful knowledge and learning. And it did say, Jesus, how do you know letters never having learned? Let's give the Lord a hand. It does say all those things. But anyway, I'm not condoning ignorance. And I'm not against understanding. I'm not against knowledge that has any purity about it or any value as to this life or the world to come. But I'm definitely against the infiltration that comes through this, that comes. I am against people who sat in my audience, as I just felt one then as I run across a snag with my boat, that sat in my audience with their minds evilly surmising against me or want to mock me a little bit because I said, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand just to drive that devil out of here. You know, the Bible said, clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be so sarcastic. We're here to praise the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, I want to talk with you and I want to teach you. I don't want to holler at you and preach at you tonight. But preachers get like that, you know, when they run into devils. That's like Brother Kleinitz was telling me that over in New York, they said there at a station that had been contacted that they'd love to have our ministry there. Said what they needed was teachers. Paul said, I'm a teacher and a preacher. And of course, they have plenty of preachers in New York. I don't know about the teachers. I guess they got plenty of them too. But anyway, this is what he said. Kind of like I think we mentioned this the other night, or some of them did, that on this new program that we're on, the radio program, that where the man gave us some time, he's decided that, he said, this message is so wonderful as to the people to respond. He said, this thing really need to be aired. And to the extent, he said, if you will get a live program from the church or your crusades, whatever, said, I'll give you the free time if you'll just do that. But anyway, I'm just trying to say this, that if that dark room is there, and then while you were standing there looking at those objects, all of a sudden, the light came on. And then you'd say, my, I never knew that was like that. Look at the detail of that. And then you would know. And see, that's the way that Paul did it. He was learned as Moses in all the ways of the natural, as to the ways of the Egyptians as pertaining to Moses. He was learned in all the ways of what we refer to as the Jewish people. And see, then when God took him away and the great, wonderful, loving Holy Spirit came upon Paul, then he lit up like a light. And when he lit up like a light, everything began to revelate, translate like that. And that's the way it is with you and I. If we are going to get into the kingdom of God, we are going to have the natural foundation of this thing, just as the Jews when they went through the wilderness. As to this, that when this great, wonderful Spirit comes down, as it comes down upon us, then all of a sudden our minds light up and our thoughts transformate from glory to glory. And we see another revealed glory. And someone says, well, I never knew that before. See, and you see that a tree is different from what you thought it was. It's a tree as to what you have, as to your natural comprehension here. But as to the world, as to what that tree represents, in that it's just a reflector of the other world, you didn't know till you got your eyes open. So if you don't get your eyes open, that means you don't belong to the other world. For the Bible said, and the wicked shall not see when good comes. For Satan, even the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they should not see when good cometh. And if your eyes can't light up, then that means that you can't be in the kingdom of God. This is why Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, because God is the Spirit. So then that means your eyes of understanding, the scale or the veil of death, has got to be moved away from it and taken away from it. And if it isn't moved away, then you're coming to church in vain. You're giving to God in vain. Not in the sense that if you give as much as a cup of water, he'll reward you as to something natural in this world, or maybe a little health, a little more life. But as to salvation, as to the kingdom of God, you're coming to church in vain. It doesn't mean a thing. Because you are not in the kingdom, you haven't been translated into the kingdom. If you'd have been translated into the kingdom, your spirit would have been translated into the spirit of Christ, because Christ is the fullness of God, as of all things, as to God's kingdom. And this heavenly treasure that we have in earthen vessels is Christ's mind, is to his spirit, which is his knowledge, which spoke all jewels and things of rare splendor into existence. So I say these things by way of remembrance to stir up your pure mind, that if you want to get into the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be translated into it. You're going to have to get away from this ritualistic religious indoctrination that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you've got to do is just sit around and wait for the coming of the Lord. And then when there's a coming, there's going to be a secret thing, and you're just going to go out of here. Nobody's going to know anything about it. You're going to have to get away from that, folks. The Bible said, and he cometh with clouds. And the Bible said, he shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the trump of God as the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible said, every eye shall see him. Every eye. Even they that pierced him, that lay in the ground, they shall see him and narrowly look upon him. And the Bible said, and all nations shall wail because of him. So I don't know where they get this thing about running and stealing somebody off. It is now in the church, like as a thief in the night, that Jesus is coming in the darkness of your intellectual reasoning as Christ within your heart among the people. And he is stealing out the bride now, as he steals out the spirit, in that God is a spirit, and translates this spirit of yours into the spirit of Christ. See, and this is it, folks. Well, there's a lot of things to be said. So I'm just telling you, I want to remind you of this one thing here before we really get started here tonight. I have made the statement to you before that if you are not translated into the kingdom of God in this lifetime, you will not be in the kingdom of God, and you will not be changed at the Thessalonian chains. You will not. Believe all you want to. If you believe as one God, you do well. The Bible said the devil believes and trembles. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And someone would say, well, I thought this was without works, that we're saved without works. James was speaking of your faith and your works, whereas we are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, by which we're sanctified, which is faith without works. But the reason we are is like as they said to Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. There, as Paul was preaching, he said, and though the works was finished from the foundation of the earth, I still swore in my wrath that Israel, or as what we call Israel, would not enter in because of their unbelief. And seeing that they entered not in, there remaineth a rest for God's people, and you fear lest you have this taken away from you. And the Bible said, they that have believed do enter into rest, because it is the faith of God. But the works is, as to make my point here, is that the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit, that did all of these works while he was in the body of Jesus, it must come into your heart, and then these works are accredited to you. For God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. And if you don't get the Spirit, you don't have any works. You don't have any works at all. All right, so we can see just being a mere believer is not enough. You've got to have faith, and faith is in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, faith is a constitution of heart thoughts, and out of the heart comes forth the issues of life. And out of the heart, that means that life comes as to life abundant, filled up and overflowing, and that Christ is the Prince of Life in your heart, coming that you might have life and more abundant. Then, as David said, my cup runneth over, and then Satan comes as to death in abundance. If he lives within you, then that's death. And of course, it's not a matter of you receiving Satan. You have him from the time you're born in the world. The Bible says the spirit of foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. God doesn't charge it against him because he doesn't come to the knowledge of it as a child. And when he does come to the knowledge of good and evil, then it's required of him to know to do good and do it not, it's sin. But unto him that does not know, God doesn't require them. Where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But the Bible does teach that once we have heard the gospel, then to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not, he shall be beaten with many stripes. But if somebody straggled along, they could not get a hold of things and could not grow as fast as others have developed, then the Bible said that if they commit things worthy of stripes, they shall be beaten with few stripes. Well, anyway, I'm just hurrying to get across a few thoughts here because I have such little time to say so much that needs to be said. And then when I get through, I've only said just a few things. It's what needs to be said. Great is the mystery of God, and I'm a steward of the mysteries. So if you're not translated in the kingdom, the law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been in the earth and the kingdom of God has been here. And men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And God hath, as to we that have received the Spirit, translated us, as to the inner angelic being, into the marvelous kingdom of God, which is the translation, as into the Spirit of Christ. He translates our spirit into Christ's spirit, number one. That's your new birth. And God is the Spirit. Then you become a spiritual son. Number two, from that Spirit of Christ, is that life is the measure that you've allowed to come in there, 34, 64, 104, what it might be. This Christ begins to reveal himself, has to make himself manifest in this life in your mortal genes. But before he can do that, when your spirit is translated in the Spirit of Christ and Christ enters into his temple, then from that time, number one, the translation as to the new birth. Number two, it takes then quite a long time for a transformation. As to give you a symbolic thing here, as to the blood, the application over the doorpost there at midnight, Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. And so it was at the midnight cry that every firstborn was smitten that did not have the blood. But as the songwriter said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And you are the firstborn. You're born into sin. You're born into iniquity. That image that you cherish so much as a bastard child image. And God said, I'll despise it in the morning when the day star rises in your heart. Or the time comes when iniquity is to be taken away. He said, I'll despise your image in that day. With men running around with all this long hair and women running around with all these short dresses. And you know, it's today and it's religion. It's accepted. They can go in and out the churches wearing pants when the Bible definitely says that it's an abomination in the sight of God for a woman to wear anything that pertains unto a man, because it has to do with authority in the spirit. Everything in the heavenly world as to a spirit has a counterpart, and that is to the natural. And we who are natural, we understand by the natural, being educated as to that, because we're in that realm. Like I said the other night about the tree of knowledge, that was a tree. But where do you find a tree that you grow knowledge on? And where in the world do you find a tree that you grow life on? See, it was symbolic. But the thing is, we who are natural, knowing not spiritual things as to our infancy, then God has to give us something natural as a symbol to say that was a tree. That was a tree. See, and indeed it was a tree, if you can understand what is meant by that. Like I said, when Jesus went to Calvary, he said, if they do this in a green tree, what will they do to the dry? All that is to say, I'm the tree of life. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was a knowledge as to life. And Satan was a word, but he was a knowledge of good and evil as that had been in the spirit world as to the light, then rejected and put out as the rule of the darkness, and had both as to the double-mindedness. Maybe we'll speak just a little bit concerning those things if I can finish my thought here. But if you do not get the Spirit of God within you, number one, translated into the Spirit of God here in this world, since Calvary, we're preaching the kingdom of God and the entrance into this kingdom through Jesus, in that he's the door, and that's the baptism in his name, to be baptized for the remission of sin. As the ark of Noah went over the water, so go ye over the water. And as to that body Jesus delivered for our offenses, or we're killed all the day long, counted as sheep to the slaughter, that is to say, as his bodily members. And then when we ride through the flood of all these things, even as the automobile that we just, I think they're counting at a total loss here at the meeting, would take a long time to have to go into those things. It's the present day truth on it. But anyway, it had to do with this ark and a lot that we've talked to some of them about as to some of these things. But anyway, as to staying with these things that you might understand, in that you're not moving into the present day truth as the revelated times that you're living in. Whereas the Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established in that in the present day truth. But in that you're not getting into that or not that far along, we just try to stay with something that's allegoric. See, as to the reading of the Old Testament, the Bible says, Paul preaching said, and this veil that was over the face of Moses, as them that were in that day, not being able to look steadfastly unto the end of that, as to that commandment of that testament, was abolished. That which is to be abolished, even Calvary abolished it. When it rent the veil, when Jesus rent the veil in two, that was the veil of death. Has to say his flesh, in that in the flesh is the image of iniquity, or the conception of iniquity. So then in that he rent the veil in twain, and then he made himself twain, separating the body from the spirit, has to take your spirit from your body, to plant your body in water, has to be that that's dead in your spirit, going back to God who gave it. And at this time, as Jesus said, we are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. No iniquity whatsoever. See, there is no iniquity, for the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Not at any time does Satan ever touch you. Somebody said, well, he's beating my brains out. Well, you need to get born again, because the devil never touches a child of God. Never at any time. He's sealed, and he's without spot, he's without blemish. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and he that is born of God cannot sin, because the seed of Christ, even the seal of the great Holy Spirit, the Word Spirit, seals his spirit on the inside. And Satan, as to the darkness, cannot penetrate as to get to that light. That light eradicates. It's the power over darkness of your intellectual concept, of your own ingenuities of life, or of your own gullible desire as to the passions or the human senses that relates to the world or makes you relative to the world, or as to those things that emanated from God, as to a spiritual status and has been brought to align vanity because of the conception of evil, and that by the weakness of the flesh. Well, anyway, here when we look at this, then we know that our first step is then the translation as to the blood applied in Egypt. And then the next step, they had to go all the way from the Red Sea as to Calvary, the blood, all the way through the wilderness as to the height of that great mountain where Moses went up. There, as we could say a lot about that, that burned with fire and where God shook the earth. And saying that next time I won't just shake the earth, but I'll shake the heavens. We say Star Wars, I'll shake the heavens next time. I'll shake it in the days of the Gentiles. I'll shake the spiritual world. I'll shake the heavens till the stars fall out of it. All right. Gonna be war in heaven, as I said the other night. So when we look at this, we know that through the wilderness indicated as to receiving the law from Moses as to the transformation of the mind. And it was during this period of time that the serpents begin to bite. It's when you get a knowledge of right and wrong, that as to the law of the letter, it kills you, because that is God's own personal measurements of his ability and his way of life. And you can't measure up to it. You are carnal, sold unto sin, and that law is spiritual as to God being a spirit. And that which was ordained unto life, Paul said, I found to be unto death. Sin taken occasion by it, raised up and slew me. Now, I'm saying that to say this, that when these things of knowledge come, then you're enlightened. And the thing that you're enlightened to is as to your wrongs, as to your corruption, as to those things that you shouldn't be doing and those things that you're guilty of begins to show. And then the guilt kills your faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. The only lifeline between you and God is faith. That's why you have to do the things that please God, to confident the heart, to have this confidence that God hears you. And knowing that God hears you, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him, because these are given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light as to the rent veil. So that is to say, looking as to the veil over Moses' face, they could not look at the brightness of this glory. So God veiled the face as to show Jesus as the prophet like unto Moses. He veiled himself with the veil of humanity as to that prophet like unto Moses. And then rent that veil to bring in a New Testament at Calvary, laying that veil away, folding up the law, fulfilling every jot and tittle that I was required as to the flesh, measuring up to this. And yet, even that, Jesus still could not be justified by the law. To be our example, the Bible said he could not be justified by the law, though he kept every jot and tittle of it. But no flesh shall be justified by the law, for by the knowledge of the law is sin. So then, in saying this, I'm simply saying that when this knowledge comes, then death comes. That's what killed Eve. That's what killed Adam. They got a knowledge of wrong. And when they did, they saw that they were nothing but corruption in the sight of God as to their own ability. And immediately they went out of the garden. And the garden that they went out of, that they were expelled, the expulsion as to what they went out of, was the mind of Christ. It was that illuminated mind of Christ. The garden, somebody said, well, I just don't believe the garden's around nowhere. No, what it is, it's the illuminated mind of Christ. If you want to go over to the foreign countries, to the eastern world, you'll find the River Euphrates is one of them that come out of the Garden of Eden, and it's still over there. And you'll find as to Hittico, Gihon, Pison, Euphrates, all four of them, the four rivers that came out of that garden, they're still over there. I think they changed one to the Tigris River. But anyway, the names have been changed. Maybe the Euphrates is the same. See, and it's still over there. But what happened was, when the illumination as to Christ's presence was gone, the whole world became briars and thorns. And then, as I say, there's a natural world of thorns. There's a physical world of thorns. There's a spiritual world of thorns. And it takes a long, long time to go into this as to the great mysteries of Almighty God. And the church, they just can't seem to have the time to devote to this. Satan is so pressing within the things that's necessitated to life and the gullible desires of life that their faces get in the way and their forms get in the way and their youth get in the way and their desires get in the way and riches get in the way and everything conglomerates to where God just can't do nothing with them. They just, become reprobates. All right, so when this knowledge comes, then you're in trouble. When they went through the wilderness, they got in trouble. When they got this knowledge, it revealed the devils as to our day, or the serpents, and they began to bite them. And then there came reason to have a supremacy as to a brazen serpent, one that could not be penetrated by the bite as to the poison. So when Jesus came, he came in the likeness of sin as to the sinful generation of the old viper, a generation of vipers, of what you are in your first birth. And he nailed that to the cross. He hung that snake on the cross as to your image. Though he did no sin, yet he came to be made your sin, that the Father might reject him and die out of the presence of God, that you might be the beautiful body of the Lord Jesus, as to the brazen one that the serpents could not penetrate, and that you'd step on serpents, walk on serpents, take up serpents, but they cannot harm you, as pertaining to the devils that tries to put that venom in you. So, As to that, you know, there's just so much that would have to be said just for that particular thing. But I'm just dropping in a thought or two to bring it to a point to where you can think on this, that God can, by his great spirit, and that Christ is the revelation of God, and that the Bible says, and the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants. He signified it by his angel John. See, the word of spirit, I'm trying to tell you that this is words of spirit. This is words of life. This is the word that said, let there be and there was. This is the word that is spirit and life. When the 70 went away and Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? He said, well, where can we go? You alone have the words of life. See, everybody that's a preacher don't have the words of life. Somebody said, oh yes, they've got the Bible. You mean this Bible is the word of life? What does the word Bible mean? A collection of books. You ever heard of the book of vitamins, the Bible vitamin? The vitamin, the Bible of vitamins? It's 66 books here. See, somebody said, well, I believe that's the word of life. If that was the word of life, I'd be tearing out the pages. I'd say, here, you chew this and you chew this. Somebody said, well, that's absurd. Well, it's not absurd because the angel said, come get this little book and eat it all. And he said, eat the whole book. Somebody said, well, I just don't understand that. That's what I say. My words are spirit and life. Can't understand that any more than when Jesus said, I'll tell you folks something. He said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have no life in you. Cannibalism, they're gone. But the Bible said they didn't understand that his words were spirit and life. That is to say, I don't have anything, folks, naturally speaking, except my natural understanding as to what I'm indoctrinated with. And if there's spiritual things and they're going to be revealed to me, some way or another, God has got to bring the spiritual value into my heart through means of my natural comprehension as to my intellectual reasoning. See, and that means that it's like a light bulb. There might be a filament in it. It might be a good bulb, but there's got to be power from somewhere. And that is an invisible force. And it's got to come through some means, and it's got to have some kind of connection as to the switch that's thrown for it to make connection. And then when that bulb lights up, then the whole atmosphere is lit up. The glorification comes. But if there's no power, if there's nothing that comes, or if the filament is dead, there's no glorification. There is no light. The darkness does not leave, and then you're in problems. For if the Bible said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? In that Satan is a light, as they have what they call in the world a dark light. He is a reflector. He is a light to this extent that he does retain as to the power of reflection that world of light as to what was there that he saw in the time that he was in that world as to the understanding before God put his spiritual eyes out and made him the ruler of the darkness. All right. Let's read chapter 1 in the book of Galatians. And maybe I'll comment just a little bit more. It says in the 6th verse, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, that's pretty strong talking about preachers. Paul said, I preached unto you, and I preached the gospel here. And if any other preacher comes along and he preaches any other gospel, he said, you let him be accursed. And he meant what he said, for he said, but though we are an angel, even if I come back with anything different, even if an angel drops down from heaven, if he tells you anything that's contrary to this gospel that I preached unto you, he said, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. So, this is the way that I see it. We are to come into this wonderful gospel. Paul was a revelator. Christ is a revelation. God is a revelation. Someone would say, what do you mean God is a revelation? God is a revelation because he has to be revealed. anything that you can't see, anything that you can't get to, and it has to be revealed to you as a revelation. And God cannot be seen. The Bible said he's the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see, nor can approach unto. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. No one else. And unless you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, you're not going to dwell in that light. And that light is his kingdom. It's like the great city, New Jerusalem. Her light was most precious, as to a bride adorned for her husband, as to a jasper stone. And the Lamb being the light on the inside of that city that radiated through these lively stones, as to you and me, that makes up the walls of this, unto that wonderful capstone of that all-seeing eye, of that pyramid prism, of that great light of God. See, these, as to you and I, being one stone upon another, laid upon the foundation of the 12 apostolic leaders. Whereas the Bible said, in other foundations can no man lay except this that Jesus Christ picked out, or these that Jesus laid, or these men that Jesus picked for the foundation of this great operation. And their names are seen in the foundations as two of these beautiful foundations, which is the foundations of that great city. And as I said, so say again, that Abraham made a confession as through faith, being the father of the faithful. He made the confession that I seek a city whose builder and maker is God, that hath foundations. And I said a lot of times, you don't find any foundation to the world. The world is a ball floating around out there. Science can't find no foundation to it. And all of these other things are just floating around. There's no foundation to it. See, and Abraham looked for a city who hath foundation. He said, whose builder and maker is God. And Paul said, it's not me, but I'm that God. I am Christ, he said, and I'm building this. I am the wise master builder. It's not me living, but Christ. And I am, as to you, looking for a bride, looking for these lively stones, that city as to a bride, a stone upon stone, every man taking heed how he build thereupon. For the Bible said that all these fellows going after gold and silver and prosperity and fame and popularity to manifest themselves, their brilliance or whatever, they're not turning men toward God, but toward themselves. See, it's a zeal as with the Jews, and that without the knowledge of God. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, as to their ambition to be seen to be something, or be before the public, or to have money, or build themselves a kingdom. Well, anyway, I'm looking for a city. It's got foundations. The builder and maker is God. And as the Lord said, ye that spake often of me, I will remember you, he said, and I will spare you as a man spareth his son. Like this morning about 3 o'clock or somewhere just before 3 o'clock, we left, we went home. We'd been down there talking all this time, some of the brethren just fellowshipping. And of course, when I got home, a lot of times I just can't go to bed. When I got home, you know, 3 o'clock, whatever, I had to talk with the Master. And in talking with the Lord Jesus, and then before you know it, time has gone away. But anyway, speaking often one to another, that he may reveal to us himself, to revelate from within, as he, number one, the first step, as to the translation into the kingdom, as to the blood applied down in Egypt. Number two, as going through the tutoring, to the transformating of the mind, to become familiar with the word as it was in their day, typical law. And then the third thing that has to come is to a Christian life. That is, Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your body, soul, and spirit. Or we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. Or he said, the saint, as to you, the ministry is set there for the perfecting of your faith, to bring you perfect understanding through the tutoring, that you may believe perfectly, since you know the whole scope. So that means that the third step of it is not translation as to the first, nor transformation as to the second, but as to transfiguration of that which is the third step. When this life is made manifest within you, and then the light shines around and the darkness flees away, there's no more briars. As to the natural bride, it's gone. As to the physical bride, it's gone. As to the spiritual bride, it's gone. Someone would say, well, what do you mean natural, physical, spiritual? Well, to break it down just a little bit, when you have a spiritual bride, you have a devil. You have the thorns of the spirit. You have those things that plague your mind and oppress your mind. That's thorns. And the Bible said there'll be pricks in your side if you spare them. And then when you have physical thorns, it's sicknesses, it's pains, it's aches, it's those things that conflict with the body as to the human chemistry of life. And then when you have a natural briar, you know what a thorn is? A natural thorn, a briar. It's all around you. It grows in the field. See, and the reason there's a natural briar and a physical briar is because there came at one time a spiritual briar. As in heaven, so in the earth. I've said this a lot of times. You can't get rid of the poverty of Africa and of India by sending them food. The Bible said the poor shall never cease out of your land. We could send it to them in that they're there to try us in that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. But the only way to eradicate that as to poverty, you've got to get rid of spiritual poverty. When you get rid of spiritual poverty, there'll be no more natural poverty. When you get rid of the spiritual thorns as to the sickness, there'll be no more physical sickness. Once the spiritual sickness as to the healing of your inter-spiritual being, when it gets straightened out and it's not sick anymore, there won't be any more physical sickness. And when you take care of the spiritual as to getting the briars away, the thorns away, out of the spiritual, you won't have any natural briars anymore. All of a sudden, that garden that's been lost will be right back there. See, because Eve lost it one way, just one way. That was in unbelief when the Lord said, thou shalt not eat of that, ye shall die. To be carnally minded is death. The day that you eat of that, Eve, you're going to die. But you know, the brilliance came along. We say, Mr. Professor, the brilliance came along, the old tree of knowledge, and says, well, religion isn't exactly that way, and you don't have to dress exactly that way, and you don't have to be so fanatic about it, and you don't have to quit everything you're doing, you know. And Mr. Brilliance, he comes along. Satan, the old devil, he comes along, you know, with his philosophy. And Paul said, and then through this vain philosophy, as to destroying your mind and spoiling you through this deceit. And so he tried it on Jesus, he's tried it on me, he's tried it on people all down through the church ages. And one of the bad situations about it is he always works through the weaker species as through the woman. He first subdues the woman and he puts her in rebellion. And when the husband thinks that he's got something, he wants to do something, she quickly indoctrinates him as to her being the brilliance of the family. And you don't know much anyway, you know that. You know, and I have to admit that we cater to the women a lot of times, and we want her to push the pencil, and we want her to figure this out and fill out the tax forms and all kinds of things. And she does know a little more sometimes than the man does as to the utilization, because he's just too lazy to do anything. He don't apply himself, so he fusses at her because she won't do it. You know, she's not faithful. But nevertheless, that gets him in trouble a lot of times, because the more that she does this, the more that she's going to take control. See, and that's the way it is, folks. You got to remember that you're born into this world as an old woman. And the Bible speaks of old wives' fable in all that you say, whether male or female. It don't amount to a hill of beans. It's just the devil, like a wine bibber. You're just running off at the mouth, as the world says. And when it comes down to this, that is where the problem comes in. You know, you got your own philosophy. You got your own idea. And you're going to do it your way. It doesn't matter what God says. Whereas the preacher preaches to you. And the Bible said it's not him speaking, but it's God speaking from within you. This shall all be taught of God. Judgment beginning at the house of the Lord. But that doesn't matter. You're not going to do that. You've got this thing figured out your own way. You're going to do it your way, because that's the way it is, you say. It can't be like you're saying. I say a lot of times, well, I'm thinking wearing my rings and my watch and my, you know, and all this other stuff, whatever, gold and silver, the adorning, and whatever in the Bible said, let it be the hidden man of the heart as to the adorning, not the outward adorning of the plaiting and the curling of the hair and all these other kind of things. See, let it be a heart after God. But somebody says, well, I just don't believe that. I know somebody's a good person, such, such, such. Well, I know that too. I know that, and know a whole lot of them's hypocrites too. But the thing is, you know, what you don't understand, what you don't understand is there's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And somebody would say, well, I'm just satisfied. I'm just going to try to get 30-fold. If you try to get 30-fold, you don't get anything. You don't get anything at all. See, it doesn't come like that. It comes through a developing, just like a little child growing. That little child grows in its mind. And it's to the developing, the more that it knows, the more is required of it. What would you do if your 15-year-old daughter or son acted like a 3-year-old and went around breaking up housekeeping? You know, when you say, well, I know he's innocent, he's such a darling little thing, I'll just let him go. No, you wouldn't. You'd get angrier by the moments and you'd tan his hide. But if that little fellow come in there and broke that, you know, you'd look over, maybe you'd look at mother as from the husband or the husband, vice versa, you know, and say, well, I can't be too hard on him. He's cute anyway, ain't he? But you might paddle him a little bit. See, and that's the way it is with God, folks. You are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I travail, Paul said, till Christ be formed within you. And then we're to make this life manifest in this body. Not as after works for my salvation, in that I'm sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, and I am perfected forever to be made perfect once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. The faith by which I'm sanctified, even the faith of Christ, we'll contend for that. See, and I understand that. I understand that I'm justified. I am sanctified. I am, the Bible said, already glorified as in his foreknowledge. And my righteousness is of God before the world ever was, in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. My name was written down in the Lamb's book of life, and I'm not a beast. I am a son of God. And I am not working my way unto righteousness. I am seeking God, and he's revealing to me, as through a transformation of mind from glory to glory, as to the righteousness of God, which was wrought in Jesus Christ. I am his workmanship in Christ Jesus, unto good works. I always have been what I am, and always will be what he made me to be before the foundation of the world. So in Christ he chose me, and this was given to me in Christ. So in this mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ on the inside, it is revealing to me, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ within me. That it's not me living, but it's Christ living within me, and I'm now bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh. And that it revealed to that body of Jesus that he was very God. And the Bible said, you're God. So you die like men from the lack of understanding, or applying yourself to come to know what you are, to believe this thing, to make it, as to a spirit word, as to life. See, yet it's true that at a time accepted, God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and succored them, and loosed them that was appointed unto death, which of course was Calvary. See, him dying for us. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I destroyed him that hath power over death, which was Calvary, when the battle in the heavenlies took place. And the Bible said concerning Revelation 12, and now the accuser of the brethren is cast out. Now has come power. Where? At Calvary. And now hath come power. And sure enough, the Holy Ghost came back as the Spirit of Christ. And he said, now when this Holy Ghost comes into you, this is power. For when the Holy Ghost comes into you, ye shall receive power. See, I know it says after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that's an approach, you know, as to the way that it's said, but in the original, when he comes upon you. So then when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power, because what power is God. And God is Christ, and Christ the power is within you. And that's the power he said, I give unto you power over all of the powers of the enemy. Oh, that is to say, Christ said, I'm the power of all the powers of the enemy. I was manifested to destroy him that hath power of death. I was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And I've done it all through the works of Calvary. That body, the image of that bastard child, that old thing that God despises, is dead and it's gone. The dispute of the body is over. It now belongs to me. Now we could say something concerning Moses there. But anyway, as to this, he said, now, greater am I within you, or he that is within you, than he that is in the world, which is Lucifer, so the prince of this world. Why then fear? Let not your heart be troubled. See, we are now, beloved, the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be like. As to the change of this body, so I am not preaching as to salvation by works, but by his works or his faith. Not by my works or your works. See, our works is but filthy rags, unless it's anointed of him, has to be to him as all things unto Christ are received of him. So then, I have no offering as to one without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, in that I must give this body daily. Paul said, I die daily. Unless it's the body of Jesus Christ, he won't accept it. Because sin would lie at the door, as Cain and Abel. See, but if it be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then will he accept it. And my spirit is to the inner man is safe. It is saved. So I find then that if this be true, then I find that I am secure. I am saved, I am holy, I am godly, I am pure, I'm without spot, I'm without wrinkle, I'm without blemish, all because He's good, not because I'm good. There's none good but Him. All because He's good, and I am His workmanship in Christ, and Christ was made unto perfection, and thus I am made to be the body of that perfection. Once and for all. I know there's a sanctification where the Bible speaks of daily sanctifying ourselves, but this has nothing to do with salvation. That's a daily sanctification. I tell you that you renew yourself in the Lord every day. Put down these old accusing thoughts to make this inner perfection manifest in your outward body. This is your works. As to make this life, as to this heavenly treasure within these earthen vessels manifest in your mortal genes by subduing this outer man. And the more you do that, the more this faith works for you. You have the natural things of life, for God's given you all things through Christ. You have your health, you have your blessings. The more the Christ, as to the Spirit, as to the potentiality of God within you, is utilized through these members as to become great and mighty in God's sight. See, so that's your works as to your faith and to your daily sanctification. So we get it all scrambled up because we don't understand. But we're not supposed to scramble it up. We're supposed to understand because we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And Jesus said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you, which is all things. And someone would say, well, how did He do that? By giving you His mind. His mind knows all things. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. For everyone to be perfect, the Bible says, shall be as his master. And he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, and that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And if he overcometh, he shall sit down in the throne with me. So then we see that we already are forever what we're going to be. Already. And it always was before we ever came into the world. Before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, the prophet said, God called me to be a prophet. I was chosen. Judas, before he was ever formed in the womb, it said, he's a devil. Let another his bishopric take. Read it in the Old Testament. Before we ever came into the world, what did he say about us? He said, and ye are gods. Read it in the book of Psalms. But because you don't know yet, you haven't had your schooling yet, haven't stayed long enough to get your diplomacy yet, because you don't know, you're going to die like men. Death is going to eat you up. Death is going to take advantage. See, when there's no death to you, there's no suffering to you, there's no poverty to you, you are that one that's been caught up to the throne to rule with a rod of iron, even the knowledge and word and mind of Almighty God to rule and to own everything. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. So we see, folks, by this, how far beneath our privilege we really are living. You can see by this that we're but little old bitty babies. Little old bitty babies. The devil, he kicks us around. He scares us. He runs us around. And you know, and this one's got a revelation, that one's got a revelation. And they're tangled up like a little kitty with a ball of yarn. And you can't tell them anything. They've done mixed what could have been a truth or may really be a truth with all of that thing of their intellectual reasoning. And Satan's got it so balled up, he's standing there like he was with Jesus quoting scripture to them. And they've got that thing so balled up that they don't even know where they're going. And you preach to them 2 hours, and when you get through, they heard everything you said and didn't hear nothing that you said. Let's give the Lord. Bible said, having ears, they hear not. They hear everything is the vocal sounds of whatever. But not having an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But he that hath the spiritual ear, let him hear. He that hath the spiritual eye, seeing always what the Father does, let's follow the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. That way we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, let's stand together. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you.
Many things.
The body's a nice thing, folks. I'm not jumping on it. I'm not accusing it. I'm not finding fault with it. We're just having a little dispute over it. I believe it belongs to God. And I think the devil, he's took it and he's made a garbage can out of it, and he's hauled it off to the junkyard, and he's walked on it and he's spit on it, and he's painted it up like a clown and painted their eyes up like a lizard. And he has done every low down degraded thing he can to the body, because that's what he is. That's the kind of spirit he is. He is a spirit of ignorance and lust and murder and hate, concupiscence, of lying and cheating and swindling. He was a liar from the beginning. See, and he's getting in that body because he don't want to go to those dry places or be cast into the fire. Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? If you're going to make us go out of this body, let us go into the swine. At least give us a beast's life, a beast body. See, but draw nigh to God, resist the devil will flee from you. Come to the understanding, be children in malice. See, but in understanding, be men. Anyway, try to be real men. Real men when it comes to understanding. But if you're going to have a quarrel, have a little dispute, be children. Forgive it. Forget it. Let it be over. But in understanding, be men. Far as it is written, stammering tongues and other lips shall I speak unto this people. And for all of this, saith the Lord, they won't hear me. For it'll come to pass, Joel said, in the latter times, as of the last days, I'll give you the latter rain in abundance. I'll give you the former rainness of the Jews moderately, that within the veil, but I'll open the veil. I'll pour it out from heaven. I'll open the windows of heaven, which he did from the 483 to the 7. I'll pour it out abundantly. Make your cup run over. So, it's a great day. The light of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, because the former was that as the veil. They could not look steadfast past that veil of death, as the old tree of knowledge. But the veil is gone now. The image is gone now. The tomb is now empty. Jesus isn't there. The writer said, the tomb is now empty. The stone rolled away. You know, if you're willing to roll away the old heart of stone, then that body of dust that's nothing but a tomb, as from the dust of the iron, to the dust ye shall return. Then if you roll away that old heart of stone, not hardening your heart as they did in the days of the provocation, of the provoking in the wilderness, when they proved God 40 years, and he sware in his wrath they'd not enter into his rest because of their unbelief, when they mumbled against their leaders. See, but if you, as today it is written, Paul said, that if you will humble yourself and harden not your heart, then I will receive you. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. When they came out of Egypt, what did it mean to us to get over the Jordan, to get over the Red Sea? It meant coming out of the flesh, as out of this world. This is Egypt. All civilization comes from Egypt. This is Egypt. And we've got to get out of this old intellectual land of our kindred as to the flesh. Whether it's relatives or whatever it might be, we're still relative to human beings. And we need to get out of it. He said, I'll make a great nation of you. When we come out of that Egypt, that Egyptian way of life, which has to do with that, what we did at the purchasing of the land in Israel. See, when we come out of that, then we're leaving that world behind, proving that we are not of the flesh. We're not in the flesh. We don't belong to the flesh. And that old bodily image is dead, and we won't have it. So God is not upset at the body. He just wants to transfigure the body back to what it was. Remember the transfiguration. We use the terms the other night, transology. Remember that from the garden, man failed from his original image as to the illumination of life. And then God came to restore that image as to the inner man this time, to translate the inner man into that image to where it could never fall again. Because that is the image of the beast had lost it, forfeited the right to it. But it was disfigured. As to some of the configurations of the day, has some of them that we see that are disfigured. And so then we see the curse, and man lost his original image, and he was disfigured as to an image of iniquity that God hates. To pamper the flesh, to go after the flesh, the infiltration as to the knowledge of Lucifer in the flesh. And when a man was perverted, he must be now converted back to his originality. And it's through that conversion, I said this before, that Jesus came in our image as the image of the beast, and that into the stable, because that's where we're at, in the barnyard, until we're born again. And he came down in the barnyard. And with that, he rose up from the barnyard as to say, I'm leaving the stable. I'm not of this world. You are of this world, but I'm not of this world. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. Folks, I'm not of this world. Somebody says, well, how do you know you're not of this world? Because the Bible said the world loves its own and it don't care a whole lot about me. So I know I'm not of this world. The world hates you. Jesus said, because it hated me. He said, if you've been of the world, it would have loved you. The world loveth its own. If you follow its pattern paint, you follow its jogging, pumping the muscles, you follow the buying and the selling and the laughing and the giggling and follow all the gossip and the backbiting, follow the intellectual programs as to the polished scholars, go after it with all of your might, do everything that they do, get right down in the mire, lap the vomit, they'll love you because you're part of them. They'll see that you make it. So, I'm not of this world. I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. Somebody said, well, when are you going back to heaven? Jesus said, the Son of Man who was in heaven and who is in heaven. No one ever came down from heaven, but he that ascended up into heaven, or the same that shall ascend, are these that have ascended into heaven, for at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, and the body is thus buried, this to that bastard child image, in the watery grave. And in that, as to the 40 days and night of the rain upon the ark and water, as to on the water and the water all over it, you're submerged. And then on the other side, you come out into Canaan. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. And this light that God commanded to shine out of darkness, as to when he said, let there be light, and that darkness was upon the face of the deep. And this light that he commanded to shine out of darkness, this light has shined within our heart. And God has commanded so that this light of the knowledge of the glory of Almighty God that's in the face of Jesus Christ has shined within you and I, as to the day star dawning within our heart. And beloved friend, you just don't understand, unless you've really got down to business with God, what this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel means, as to riches and splendor and youth and magnificence of life extended. You're going to face that awful night of darkness and death. When you're young, you think, well, I've got plenty of life, I've got plenty of time, man, I just got to do my thing. But one of these days, when death comes around and you see the horrible nightmare of the darkness, and sorrow comes, physical defeat comes, problems, money isn't going to be anything to you. You're going to say, my God, I've been a fool. What I needed was life. And then life owns everything, because life lives and everything exists because of life. But now that I've given up life, I don't have anything, because as with the darkness, when my eyes are closed, me and everything separates. Because where there's no life, there's no understanding as to light, so there's no world. There's no nothing. And into the darkness, the deep darkness. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Every promise in this book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we trust thee in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine.
Let's sing this little chorus by Taylor.
Amazing grace, how sweet the smell that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see.
Sing that with me.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. For
the very moment that it appeared, when it appeared, when did it appear?
It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, this battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Can you sing it with me?
We'll wear the crown. I'll have a crown. We'll wear the crown and shine. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. We'll wear the crown. We'll wear the crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
When the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor.
Gone. The stone, it's rolled back, gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For it's gone, over death trial, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. Forever.
Sing that with me.
For he's gone, and the stone, it's rolled back, gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore. And now it's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone.
The spiritual man gone.
sit at my Father's side in death. For he's gone, but in triumph gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forever.
One more time together.
For he's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled and gone. Fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone, over death triumphant, gone. Death is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore.
Sing it right.
For it's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back, gone. The fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's. For I'm gone, over death triumph gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forever.
Can you sing that one more time with me?
For it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back. Gone, I saw the tomb and it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side.
Some of you went there with me and saw it.
For he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone. He's alive forevermore.
Sing that again.
Oh, he's
alive. Why don't all of us just come down to the altar tonight, pray together? You can't imagine how it thrills my heart to see my son and my daughter-in-law, Brother JT's daughter here, Georgia, Fabian, the little family, Misty, she's around. You know, to see him come, and it has great spiritual significance at this time, just before we go to the Houston meeting. As a matter of fact, David Paul is planning to ask Rick, if he hasn't already asked him, if he will take charge of the bus and see that you have a way down to the Houston meeting and that you want to go down there. Do you really believe the heart of stone is gone? Do you believe that that fleshly tomb was the cause of all the problem, and Jesus killed that old body at Calvary, and now iniquity is gone? He made an end of sin and iniquity, and your spirit at death went back to God who gave it, and you're in heaven with the Lord, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring and restoration of all things. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling. How beautiful, how wonderful.
For it's gone, the heart of stone, it's rolled back, gone. That fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive.
Jesus said, once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Just one more time.
So he's gone.
Can you sing it?
Gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. it at my.
You know, while we're singing, I'd love to say I appreciate all of you coming out and being with us. It's a great hour, a great wonderful thing is taking place. You that can see into the spirit world, and those that cannot see in the spirit world are nothing but beast. You know, you shouldn't be upset at beast. You shouldn't be angry at beast. They can't help it. They're beast. They were created from the foundation of the world as beast through the foreknowledge of God. You should be glad. You should be rejoicing. You should be thankful that you're not a beast. Some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. You should be ever so grateful. For though they be ever so religious, and though they reflect you, they can never be a son and daughter of God. Never. There's no way. It takes His Spirit to translate you into the kingdom of God. And the Bible said, in the spirit of the beast, go down. But the spirit of the sons, go up. And so He's gone. The stone that's rolled back. So see, knowing that you are children of God, that you're called with a holy calling, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation? Hastening unto and looking for the coming as to that day of the Lord, when all of the world shall be on fire, and the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up, and the heavens and earth shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God, the Bible said, he shall abide forever. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. And we are the word made flesh, and the word will never pass away. This Houston meeting, it really has significance, folks. It has great significance. Whatever you do, find His Spirit. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit since you believe, get the Spirit. The Bible says, to the latter rain, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But that doesn't mean you have it. The old saying, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. But the Bible said, as Peter spake to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. The Bible said, as to Philip, great revival. There was great joy in that city because they were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul, at the 19th chapter of Acts, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Be baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the Holy Ghost came in. And folks, the Spirit is given to you that if thou canst believe in thine heart that God raised up Christ from the dead, and confess with your mouth as to that salvation, as to His resurrection, then ye shall be saved. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with the heart man believeth unto his works of righteousness in our behalf. With the heart man believeth in his works of righteousness. We are God's workmanship in Christ. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, in that Jesus is our righteousness. And with the lips, as to the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Because the Bible said he is the high priest of our confession. If thou canst believe in thine heart and confess, the high priest heard it. He accepted it. He made the intercession. And so it is. And so then when you do that, then you are a Christian. You are a Christian. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I believe, oh God, I believe. Okay, I felt the Holy Ghost move, but you're not yielded like you need to be. But I felt Him move. I feel like right now, God is wanting to do something for you. My son, George Jr., he follows us with his family as to JT's daughter. He follows a thing as to the redemption of the body. And now at his age, he's coming out of the wilderness as to the Bible giving it. As we spoke of these things, he's looking in another direction now. As in a vision, I saw him where he come forth, stood as he's standing now with his hair cut. And just the other night, I spoke to my wife about it. And see, that time is at hand. The transformation is at hand. You've had a translation by faith as to you that have been born again, as to your spirit and the spirit of Christ. And then a transformation has been taking place down through the church ages ever since Calvary, as to from glory to glory, as to the inner man of that life. And now you're on the verge of the redemption of the body, which is the transfiguration as Jesus from the manger, not to the cross, but from the stable into glory, where he appeared in the presence of God between Moses and Elijah, as to within you, glory to glory. And he, as having been made heir to the glory, as he alone, not as to seeds of many, but as of one, even Christ, he is your hope of that glory. And the Bible said, the coming of the Lord, every man that hath this hope within himself purifies himself, even as he is pure, and he'll be changed into that glorious image. If there is within you that potentiality, when that great magnetic force moves over you, when the Lord comes, it'll make contact with that Christ life on the inside, and as a member of the body, you'll be recognized, saying, that is the member of his body. That is the member of his body. There's the life right there. But beloved friend, if you just try to believe your way in and figure your way out, you're not going to do it. You're not going to make the rapture. You're not going to make the translation. See, so let's make this life manifest in our mortal body. The child is known by his doings. If your doings is toward the gullible desires of this flesh, always wanting, 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 as to the spirit, to wax wanting, then you don't have it. But if it's the spirit of Christ that's wanting to be about the Father's business, wanting to look like the Father, act like the Father, be like the Word, live like the Word, then that means that you've got him on the inside of you. You can never die. You can never die. You pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. For you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. You can't walk in the flesh because you're not in the flesh. The flesh is dead, but Calvary and buried in baptism in his name. And that means that you can't walk in the flesh because you're dead to the flesh. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. No one can bring any condemnation. And in that day, every one that riseth or every mouth that speaks against you, I'll condemn it in the day of judgment. For your justification and righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus here. There's one, only one way to God. One, only one way to God. There's one, only one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus. Susie, come and hear me sing. Oh, there's one way to God. There's only one way to God. Is David up there? Just one way to God. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's one. There ain't but one way. God, have you got the Holy Ghost? With the Holy Ghost. One. Peter said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? To God. One. There's just. And you give God a wave offering. Baptized in Jesus. Some of you ain't ever even been baptized in Jesus' name. I believe we've got somebody here tonight that come from California. I believe it's a nephew of Brother Rob and maybe his wife, is it? Certainly glad to have them. I haven't had a chance to meet them as of yet. but we welcome to them to here, to our little place of worship. Welcome to Bethlehem, the home of the soul. We're actively engaged in world evangelism. Our whole heart and life is to reach around the world and take glad tidings of great joy, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to bring a day of freedom as to them that are in captivity, and to heal and bind up the wounds of those that are bruised. I've got one way to preach to God. One way I preach to God. One, just the Bible said in remission sin shall be taught in His name, beginning in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, there's one, there's just one way to God. There's one, there's only one way to God. There's one, there ain't but one way to God. Salvation's in Jesus' name, no other name. Oh, that one, just one way to God. One, there's just one way to God. One, there's only one way to God. Salvation's in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Let's give Him a... Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I can tell the victory's here. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and I can tell there's a victory. Okay, let's sing another little chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long? Sing that with me. Till my calling in, and you call me home. Since I got loose of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keeps me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Can you give Him another wave offering while Brother Al is up here? Oh, my sea, do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Sing it with me now. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with hearts of gold and the thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah Land, my home, sweet home. The lights. Come up here, Rick, and help me sing it, will you? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea?
stand high on heaven's balcony. It's the likes of home. A welcome sign.
We want to sing it one more time together.
That the lights sun home, I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
All right, let's sing another chorus or two while we're here.
When I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves all cover me and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through, then I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view.
Can you sing that with me?
You've got one more. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your fears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, worth it all someday, for it's all gonna be over after.
Can you sing that with me?
You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home.
We're going to sing this little chorus. Give me a key, Frank.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land. And time shall be no more.
Sing with me now.
For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more.
Remember, Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come.
For
in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to gather all things into His Son, even as the days of Noah, this is to me, He said. or time shall be.
So then, y'all the people upon whom sins of the world have come, you've been born into your generation, and you're looking back at Calvary now. There's come a Calvary in your life. It ended your world as to the natural world. From the 483 to the 7, as we said, and the door was open in heaven, and it's been a heavenly dispensation as to this age, ever since. So, that means that we are no longer in the earth, for God has chosen us out of the earth, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. We're no more in the flesh, but we're with God in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, you that are in heaven, for the devil can't get to you. The book of Revelation says in Revelation 12, and there was found no place anymore for Lucifer, as to the old red dragon. There was war in heaven. He was cast out. And there wasn't place any place anymore in heaven for him. He was in heaven as a spiritual being, but no place in heaven anymore. Cast out. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. That is, woe unto them that are in the flesh or in the body. Woe unto them. For Lucifer is among you. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's why you have all the frivolous things, all the gullible desires of the world. That's why you have all these things as to the beatnik age. These things of a sinful, adulterous generation. All of these things. Money, power, wealth, the glamour and glitter of the world. You have all these things to lust after, to hunger after, to thirst after. See, because he's in the earth, he's seeking. He's seeking whom he may devour. But in my heart, he's no more. He was cast out. In my body, he is no more. My body's dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as to the Lord Jesus Christ. So time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. Can you lift up your hands to the Lord? For the angel, Revelation 10 and 7, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, the mysteries of God to be finished. Yea, the body of Christ, members in particular, that was the great angel that hung at Calvary with his hands lifted to heaven, saying, it's finished, Father. Every jot and tittle, and time. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you right now. I feel him, the Spirit of Christ. He's resurrected from the dead. He's alive forevermore, even in you tonight. And I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel him moving on you. I feel your faith begin to move. My, what if you really turn to loose? If you really worship God, you just throw yourself on God and say, Lord, I'm forgetting everything that's behind. I got to make it. I got to make it. Lord, I'm just not going to think of anything but you. Christ and him crucified for time. To you and me, all it's no more for time. To you and me is no more. In his foreknowledge, for the angel now stands on the sea and the land, and time is no more. Sing it again now. For time, for the Christian, is no more. And in the fullness of time at Calvary, that ended the time. And 483 to 7, and heaven came in. And the body's now dead and gone, that creature of time. And now you're one with the Lord. For as your angelic spirit, born of God, cannot sin, the evil one cannot touch it. It is now safe with God, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of restoring of all things. Ye are the saints of God without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. She's coming back after that kind of a church. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb, oh sinners slain. Let us give him. to win.
One more time together now. Can you lift your hands up?
And I
lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Let's love him now. Don't you like dwelling in heaven? Don't you like dwelling in heaven? In heaven is where all the saints are. Where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Aren't you glad that you're dwelling in heaven? Hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Are you hid with Christ? The heavens have taken him away until the day of the chains.